This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hello and welcome to the Hope Mornings Weekly Podcast. I'm Katrina Rowe. This week, ACMA released their annual report about our communication habits. We'll find out what's changed in 2014. Want to make Christmas fun and special for the kids without spoiling them rotten? Dr. Justin Colson has some tips for how to unspoil your kids this Christmas and help them to think of others. And big news, Susan Boyle's found love at 53. But why the shock that she's met her boyfriend later in life? Joanna Hayes discusses the expectations others have for how the life schedule is supposed to run. Andrew Morris, our tech guy, picks his top technology gifts for this Christmas season. And Ben McKechnie reviews the lovable new family movie Paddington, starring Nicole Kidman, Colin Firth and Hugh Bonneville. That's all coming up in the Hope Mornings Weekly Podcast. Don't forget you can download it from the Hope 103.2 website or subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hope Media and select the Hope Mornings Weekly Podcast. I'm Katrina Rowe. Thanks for listening. Can you imagine life without the internet? How did we do life without it 25 years ago? Now, such a big chunk of our shopping, our bill paying, our business and our social life are all being run via the internet. Well, new research from the Australian Communications and Media Authority shows that while the number of internet connections has now stabilised, Australians are more hungry than ever for data and content. ACMA released their communications report 2013-2014 late last week. Hugh Clappin manages their research division at ACMA. Hi, Hugh.
How are you, Katrina?
Not too bad. How ubiquitous is the internet in Australia now? Does everybody have it?
Look, we're showing that over 80%, 4 in 5 people have a fixed internet home connection. I think a lot of people are connected through their smartphones. Mm. So a lot of people are connected and they're using the internet more and more.
Yeah, and there'd be people even who don't have it who are still using it at work or perhaps using it at the library or something like that. So it sounds like most people are on it now. I guess there's a limit then to how much it can keep growing in terms of, you know, number of connections. What are the real areas of growth now?
Where we're seeing the big growth is in the volume of data downloaded. Is whilst people have now pretty much got their connections, virtually every one of those home internet connections is a broadband connection. Mm. So people are now fully connected, and what they're doing is getting more and more data online. So we're seeing, for example, big increases in streaming of audio and video content. You know, this might be catch-up TV, yep. Pandora or Spotify, those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I just disconnected my Foxtel on the weekend because we're just watching off the iPad all the time on AirPlay.
Right.
I think that's
exactly the same trend we're seeing. Yeah.
Yeah. And is the internet also becoming the place where we do business?
Yes, there's no doubt that people are doing more and more shopping online, doing their banking online. These are the kind of activities where we're seeing quite a lot of activity from Australians in their online use.
And how are security issues going?
Security continues to be an issue, and it's certainly something that we think everyone should be monitoring. Our Australian Internet Security Initiative, where we work with ISPs to look for and help ISPs identify infected computers, has also shown a rise in recent years of the number of infected computers.
Now, one of the things I do need to ask you about, and one of the big changes that I know you noted, was that more than half of 25 to 34-year-olds are now mobile only. They no longer have that fixed-line phone.
Yep.
Are you seeing that fixed line phones are really more becoming a thing of the past?
Look, I think that's right. I mean, it definitely does matter how old you are. Mm-hmm. So if we look at people who are, say, older than 65, well, only 7% of those are mobile only. But absolutely, in that age group, 25 to 34, over half. In the age group, 18 to 24, 40% of people are mobile only. So big differences depending on how old you are. But I think the trend is very much moving. We're certainly seeing increases in the number of mobile only people. To throw another number at you, it's across all age groups, it's 27% of us are mobile only. Last year, that was closer to 18%.
So that's another big jump, isn't it? Mm, from 18
absolutely.
To 27. So, just doing everything through the phone and the tablets, I guess, now. Well, thanks to you for telling us a little bit about it. Was there any other sort of standout findings?
I'd be saying that we're also been monitoring what mobile network operators are doing, and they're answering the call for better connectivity because they're delivering increased infrastructure and they're making progress in providing 4G around the country, which goes hand in hand with our the consumer need or desire for mobility.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you, Hugh.
Okay, thanks very much, Katrina.
That's Hugh Clappin from ACMA talking about some of the findings of their recent communications report for 2013-2014. How often have you heard someone say, Christmas is just all about the children? Well, sometimes our attempts to make our kids happy and show them how much we love them can backfire if Christmas becomes just a shopping list of things they want. So is there a way we can unspoil our kids this Christmas and still keep some of the childlike excitement and magic of Christmas? Dr. Justin Coulson from Happy Families has some ideas. Hi, Justin.
G'day, Katrina.
Well, I feel like when we make Christmas all about the kids, we can hardly blame them for getting caught up in the presents and the treats. What are some ways we can help our kids to think of others this Christmas, Justin?
I think that one of the biggest issues that we face is we've got all the media and all the advertising and everyone's saying, buy, 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 it's all about me, me, me. But when you think about it, you probably don't remember the gifts that you got when you were 4 or 7 or 9 or even 13, maybe even last year. The gifts that we received don't really help. But when we focus on others, when we focus on giving rather than getting, it seems to be a lot more memorable. So a couple of things that I've noticed people doing, and our families tried ourselves, have been really helpful, are focusing on service, whether it means that you bake some cookies and pop into the local police station or AMBO or fire service, or take some donations down to the local RSPCA, or jump onto a website like Giveology or Kiva and donate a goat or a chicken to an overseas village where people are in poverty and need help. It's the giving, not the getting, that really makes Christmas memorable.
But for those of us who, you know, enjoy gifts and who want to show our love and appreciation through giving a gift, because, you know, some of us, like, I really treasure gifts that I've been given and I always remember who they're from. How can we make that process more meaningful?
There's probably a few things that we can do. Number one, I'd say reduce the quantity of the gifts, because the reality is our children don't need a gift from every single person in their lives. And when they get that many, it's overwhelming and they don't really appreciate them so much. They just sort of rip them open and say, all right, what's next?
Yeah.
But the other thing is look for something that's exciting so they do have something to look forward to. And then when they're opening the gifts, I mean, I've got 6 kids, and when I get together with my extended family, there can be up to 20 or 25 children in the lounge room all trying to open gifts. Slow the gift giving down.
Yeah.
Allow time for savoring. Allow time to really just soak up the excitement of opening one gift at a time and relishing that.
That's what we do, Justin. We actually, each person, like, personally hands over their gift, give a kiss and a cuddle, the person opens it, and then you personally kiss and cuddle and thank them, and everyone watches.
It takes a long time, but
yeah.
It's actually a really nice way to do it, and it's worth it. It's better than having all the gifts thrown across the room 10 minutes later you're done. There's one other thing that I would mention that's really good here as well, and that is that instead of giving gifts, give experiences.
Okay.
Because if we give experiences, they stick in our minds so much more. And I'm talking about basic experiences. Like for my kids this year, I'm giving them a camp out, a one-on-one camp out for a weekend at some point in the next few months. Just me and one of the girls. So I've got 6 girls, so it's, you know, going to take a while to get through these gifts. But they're going to remember that camping trip, that one-on-one camping trip, a lot more than they will, I don't know, a new pair of socks
or even doll or something.
Yeah, another doll. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I think often the real difference between, you know, that spoilt child and unspoilt one is really gratitude. So do you have any ideas to encourage real gratitude in our children?
For sure. First of all, as we've already mentioned, savor the gift giving and make sure they say thank you to the person that gave them the gift. But I think that there's also power in sending a thank you note. It doesn't really take long to pull out a card and write, Dear Auntie Karen, thank you for giving me whatever the name of the gift is.
Mm.
It made me happy. It was very kind. Love, Alice.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Very easy to send a thank you note to say thank you, because that's actually where the appreciation is. And it helps us to savor the gift, and it helps us to focus on the good things that we've been given.
Also helps you to remember who gave you what. You know,
that's right. You're more likely to actually recall what happened at Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you, Justin.
My pleasure.
Some great ideas there. That's Dr. Justin Coulson from happyfamilies.com.au. You can find more tips on his website as well for how you can unspoil your kids this Christmas. You may have seen headlines in the last week proclaiming that Susan Boyle has her first boyfriend at the age of 53. Interestingly, it's not the fact that she's dating someone that's big news. It's the fact that it's her first boyfriend at 53. Joanna Hayes is from the blog celibateinthecity.net. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Katrina. How are you?
Yeah, good. The positive side of the whole Suzanne Boyle story is that dreams can come true at any age. I kind of think that's a big part of her appeal. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the classic Cinderella moment, seeing her dismissed by her judges and critics and then succeeding so well. And she's a very inspiring person.
I think, though, also within those headlines of, you know, first boyfriend at age 53, I don't know, I sort of feel like there is a little bit of an implied sense of failure or perhaps a judgment that it hasn't happened before now, that it's, you know, 53, oh, that's so old kind of thing, as if that makes her some kind of freak. Why do you think it's such a big deal that she hasn't had a boyfriend before?
Well, I don't think it's just implied. I think it's very clear.
Okay.
There's a sense of judgment, or even just the, yeah, oh my goodness, that is the weirdest thing that's ever happened in the world, a woman not dating someone till she's 53.
Yeah, like that movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, like, oh my goodness, yeah.
This is so strange, we need to make a movie about it. But as for why it's such a big deal, I think it's because we do all still have this fairly narrow concept in our mind of what the stages of life are. You know, you're in high school, you do some dating, you maybe go to uni, you get engaged, you get married, you have your first child, you have your second child, maybe more, they start going to school. Like, we just have this sort of treadmill concept.
Oh gosh, you just spelled out my whole life. That's I feel like such a cliche. First child, second child, about to turn 40. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
But that's the thing. It's not that it's a cliche, and it makes sense that we have a concept of a norm. But at the same time, when we make people who don't fit that norm into such freaks in our eyes, I think we're more revealing what our expectation is, that of course this should be a norm rather than it's just statistically common.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the expectation. It's just what happens for some people and not what happens for others.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not actually the strangest thing in the world for Susan, who has faced many challenges, which she's, you know, shared really publicly, hasn't started dating someone until she's 53. And the fact that this is found so strange, I think, demonstrates that we pile a lot of expectation into this is the way it should go.
As a single person, do you feel, you know, an unspoken pressure from family and friends that they're waiting for this to happen for you?
Again, it's not so much unspoken.
So I'm just being way too subtle today.
Yes, possibly.
So it's spoken out loud is what you're saying, is it?
Very spoken out loud a lot of the time. Yeah, it's like when you catch up with a friend that you haven't seen for a while and the first but sometimes only question they ask is, so are there any men in your life? You know, fortunately not with all of my family and friends, but it can become the thing that that's all that people know to ask you about, because that's the progression. You should have a boyfriend by now, and then you get married and stuff, and I don't know what else there could possibly be in your life, so I don't know what else to ask you. So, yeah, it can often be very spoken and more than implied that everyone's waiting for you to get to the next bit.
Yeah,
well, it's the next bit.
The same thing does happen for people who marry but don't have children, you know, immediately. People are always asking, when are you going to have a baby? It's like, what? Anyways.
For a bunch of my friends that have been engaged, they're like, oh, the first question everyone asks is, have you set a date? Like, we just all have this, right, this is the thing that is supposed to happen next, and that is all I will ask about.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
I'm very fortunate my parents never did that to me, but a lot of parents do it to their kids. When are you going to have a baby? When are you going to get married? When are you going to buy a house?
Yeah.
Anyway, look, one of the liberating things about Suzanne Boyle's story is that it shows that life doesn't have to run to a set timeline. So we can just be free of all that expectation.
Exactly. And I think the more you actually start thinking about the people in your life and what their path has been when things have actually happened for them, the more you realise that actually the norm is never really quite the norm. There are challenges and hurdles for everybody. So, yeah, we can, I think, give up the idea of a set timeline and just be happy for what is happening in people's lives when it happens.
Right, and what's happening right now, yeah, as well, whatever
yeah, exactly.
that might be, as opposed to some mythical thing that's supposed to be happening next. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks, Joanna.
That's a pleasure.
Merry Christmas. All right, that's Joanna Hayes from celibateinthecity.net. Well, have you got a man in your life that is hard to buy for? What do you get for the hubby, father, uncle or brother who already has everything this Christmas? Andrew Morris, our tech guy, has picked out this year's most appealing techie gifts. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Katrina. Nice to be with you.
Yeah. Now, some years there's been a sort of a must-have item, you know, everyone's getting the coffee machine or whatever. What do you think is going to be this year's most popular tech gift?
I reckon some of the hottest tech stuff around at the moment would have to be tablets. And the fact that gaming is now so popular on that tablet platform, you can't beat the release of the iPad Air 2 this year. Again, Apple step it up, make the product, the tablet, a much faster, lighter machine. So for me, something like an iPad, but if you're a gamer, then of course, Sony and Xbox have got new machines out this year, and so if you're into gaming, you'll enjoy that as well, I'd imagine.
Okay, what are some of the more popular choices this year in terms of entertainment gadgetry? Because that's often what we're thinking of at Christmas, isn't it? It's just fun stuff to do.
Well, I mean, a lot of hype this year around smartwatches. We had LG and Samsung and all those companies release smartwatches, and of course the Fitbit trackers. I think we seem to be in this zone of exercise as well, Katrina.
Yeah.
So I think some of those Fitbit monitors that are around your wrist, your jawbones, maybe even the upcoming Apple Watch could, not released yet, but I see that segment should be popular. But if you're going to look at getting one of those Fitbit kind of wristbands, just be aware that a lot of these smart watches will have that functionality in it coming up next year.
Okay.
So things like that. Also, I guess Apple TV and Chromecast, which Google released in Australia this year for $49. Yeah, it enables you to watch YouTube and lots of online streaming services and stuff. And basically these products like Apple TV and Chromecast plug into the back of your television and enable you to watch streaming stuff online if you've got a broadband connection.
Yeah. What's something that's just a bit different that maybe not everyone knows about?
A bit different. Okay. Something that's appealing to me is Philips, who make light bulbs. They've got this Philips Hue lights, light globes that they've released, and I think they're only available at a particular retail outlet. But basically, you can control, because they're LED lights, you can have them around your house and control the lighting and mood of your house, which is pretty cool. So if you're feeling in a happy mood, maybe some bright colours, more sombre, maybe some blues and stuff. Yeah, so I think that's a bit of a fun product if you want to just add colour to your house. Other things which I think have really taken off are the Bluetooth speakers or wireless speakers. You know, companies like Bose and Jawbone, all the manufacturers are releasing Bluetooth speakers, and there's some really good ones, which include DAB plus radio, so you can listen to Christmas Hope this holiday season.
You just had to get that little plug in there, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about for those who are on a budget? Because some of these things are a bit fancy, Andrew, and probably not all of us can afford them. So if you're thinking a little bit lower budget and still wanting to get something techie, is there anything that fits that description?
Well, I think a lot of the Bluetooth wireless speakers can be quite small if you want to just get some audio on the go, whether it's outside doing the lawn or in a room in the house, you know. As long as you're close to your modem or something, you know, you can get stuff under, you know, $100, $50 for some of these kind of things. The Chromecast by Google is, I think, $49, which, again, you need a broadband connection, but it does bring stuff that's been trapped into your laptop onto your smart television. I guess one of the things that we haven't spoken about is the drones. Those dreaded drones. The popularity of those have skyrocketed too. So every tech shop that you look at is selling varieties of these four fanned creatures that you can get.
That'd be expensive, wouldn't they? They sound like they'd be really fancy.
Yes, I shouldn't put that under cheap.
But something popular and new, I guess, as well.
But something popular. I think something for the iPad 2 that I would find really useful is to turn your iPad, which is now, or tablet, which is quite powerful these days, into sort of like a laptop by adding a wireless keyboard to it,
mm-hmm.
Like something that Zag or Logitech might create or Belkin. And that really sort of opens up the world with giving you a keyboard to type and stuff, whether you're using Word or Excel and not having to rely on the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah, kind of use your tablet as a laptop then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can actually get one that's a clamshell, which you actually slide into a cover and it can bend at pretty much any angle because it's clipped onto the iPad. It's quite nifty as well.
That sounds cool. All right, thanks for those ideas, Andrew.
Yeah, pleasure.
That's Andrew Morris, our tech guy. We've been talking about the top tech gift ideas for Christmas.
Keep your eyes down. There's some sort of bear.
Hello.
Hello there.
Mary.
This young bear needs our help, Henry. It's just for one night.
Do bears even have names?
My name is...
Or perhaps you'd like an English name.
An English name?
Paddington.
Paddington?
Paddington.
Paddington?
You've literally just brought home a random bear.
Hope 103.2 Mornings with Katrina Rowe.
The Culture Collective.
It's one of the best movies I've seen for ages.
Really fun series, but it's got a great underlying message.
Guaranteed 8 out of 10.
Now, look, there aren't many family/kids movies that I get excited about, but when I saw the trailer for this one, I thought it looked really fun. Paddington opens today, starring Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Bonneville. It's a terribly British story about a polite, lovable Peruvian bear who finds himself in London with nothing but a hat, a suitcase, a duffel coat and a newly discovered love of marmalade. Ben McKechnie, our movie reviewer, has been to see it. Hey, Ben.
Good morning to you.
This looks like fun to me. Was it fun?
My goodness, it was fun. Like,
oh, good.
I wasn't as excited about it as it sounds like you were, and I didn't read, this is obviously based on the Paddington kids books.
Mm.
I don't remember reading those when I was a kid. So anyway, so I wasn't heading in there thinking, fantastic, I'm going to go watch a movie about a talking bear that moved to London.
Yeah, but I know. I suppose it does sound kind of weird, yeah.
Well, it does. It does. And maybe this is because my wife, Amy, is pregnant and she's due in February. Maybe I'm kind of,
getting in the kiddie mindset,
That's right. Like,
yeah.
After years of being a film reviewer and watching kids' movies and not having children, and I'm going to see ones now where I'm on the cusp of fatherhood. Maybe it's because of that, but I love Paddington. I thought Paddington is one of the best movies of this year. It is what you want in a family movie. It's so good.
And it has enough to keep the adults entertained as well, obviously. I mean, you're an adult. You liked it.
That's right. I didn't completely go back to my childhood and just snigger at jokes. I thought that's one of the best things about it, that it's written for adults and for kids. So like plenty of parents and caregivers would have noticed over the last couple of years, when you go to a Pixar or a DreamWorks animated movie, there's usually jokes in there for the adults, like you recognize all that stuff. Paddington does the same thing, but it's not like adult jokes where it's going to turn you off. It's just there's things in there that kids just aren't going to pick up. So that's constantly going on through the movie. But what I really liked most about it, the movie's got heart and warmth, and there's a great story at the center of it, of this little bear who's trying to find a family and is really quite struck by how difficult it is in London, which he thought was going to be this welcoming, magical place, how difficult it is for him to find his place in that city. I was really quite struck by just how well told that was.
So in essence, like, I mean, a lot of Paddington is about him being an outsider in a foreign land and, all the hilarious mistakes that he makes while he's trying to just figure out how things work. Like even just, in the bathroom, he has to figure out how all that works.
That scene's really good in the movie. How funny that is. Sorry, please continue. Yeah.
Okay. But, is there a sort of a deeper message behind that about, belonging and exclusion and those kind of things? Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think there is. And not to try to sound a note of where, this is where it all gets serious and, you'll be sitting in the movie thinking they lay it on too thick and you're meant to feel, guilty family movies I think can lay on, here's the moral of the story, really thick, where you just feel a bit like, oh, come on.
A bit preachy, a bit didactic.
It's a bit preachy, that's right, a bit clunky. Like it's just, we've been going along so nicely and all of a sudden, now you're telling me about how we've all got to cooperate. And I already knew that. Paddington, I think, does a really smashing job. That's a British expression.
Smashing
job.
Yes, rather, bravo, yes.
I think it has the balance really well, pretty much on all fronts, including It goes from, you know, it's funny and it's entertaining and the story is really good of just what Paddington gets up to, but the message behind it, and as you said, he's a stranger in a strange land, and you know, you just look at our nation and the situation that's going on here about border protection and asylum seekers, refugees, like this has been an issue in Australia for some time. It's amazing that a movie like Paddington can kind of speak to that issue. And I think if you're a Christian, like this movie should actually cut you pretty deep when it comes to loving your neighbor and just where you sit when it comes to showing hospitality, showing love for the outsider. What lengths would you go to welcome someone into your family who's not a direct family member? And Paddington, I think, puts that message across while being remarkably funny and entertaining and lovable at the same time.
Well, that sounds great, Ben. Thanks for filling us in on it. I'm going to take the family to see it this summer.
Oh, please do. I'm actually thinking of going to see it again, but I might have to wait till my child's a little bit older.
Might be on DVD by then.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
No worries.
That's Ben McKechnie. We've been reviewing Paddington. It stars Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Bonneville.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.